This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham, sitting in for Cynthia Canty. So primary election is on August 5th, and one of the things you'll be looking at is Proposition 1. It asks voters to approve a tax policy change, but the darn thing is really confusing. To help us clear this up a little bit is Bob Schneider with Citizens Research Council of Michigan. It's a nonpartisan nonprofit group that objectively analyzes policy issues like this. So, Bob, let's start at the beginning. The state has long had a thing called the personal property tax. What is the PPT?
The personal property tax is an annual property tax. You and I pay property tax on our homes. Businesses pay that same property tax on personal property, and that's the stuff that's in that's in their businesses: computers, office furniture, equipment and machinery, tools. And the business community sees this as a particularly onerous tax. It's a tax on productive assets that they use to make goods.
So you buy something and you keep paying taxes on it every year afterwards. So the legislature passed a bill and the governor signed saying that we're going to get rid of this, right?
Correct. That was in 2012. Legislature enacted legislation to exempt businesses from that personal property tax. The legislature sees this. The governor sees it as a inducement to encourage more investment, more business expansion, and then hopefully more jobs in the business community.
So how much money, how much revenue for the state is lost in this tax cut or tax exemption?
Well, this is a phased-in exemption, so the revenue needed to reimburse local governments, because that's the issue here, is when we eliminate the personal property tax, local governments depend on that revenue, some very much. So they will begin to lose that revenue. The state is going to kick in revenue from the state's use tax to help make up for those local losses. Fiscal year 2016, we're talking $100 million. That's going to grow fairly rapidly. Eventually, 10 years down the road, the state general fund will lose roughly $500 million in revenue.
So I want to get to the use tax, as you mentioned. I also want to get to this assessment on equipment that we've not yet talked about. But how will the state go about helping these municipalities help up for this loss through this assessment, through this use tax?
Well, a portion. So we pay this use tax now on, as we said, online purchases and catalog purchases, phone bills. And a portion of that revenue is going to be converted to a new local tax. And that local tax revenue, it's called the Local Community Stabilization Share Tax. A portion of that all of that revenue will go to reimburse local governments for their personal property tax exemption losses.
So we're shifting an existing tax from the general fund to municipalities.
Exactly, exactly. And that's expected on the whole to hold local governments harmless from the personal property tax exemption losses. Now, from a unit-by-unit basis, that may not be true. We're going to find some local governments that may get under-reimbursed. We're going to find some local governments that may actually get over-reimbursed. But on the whole, it's expected to the revenue should be sufficient to reimburse local governments for all their losses.
Okay, so let's go back to those businesses that are paying this personal property tax. That's exempted now. But then they put an assessment in place so that they are actually taxing businesses again at a much lower level. Why is that necessary?
It's necessary because the revenue from that new state essential services assessment will help mitigate some of these general fund costs that we just talked about. When this legislation was first enacted in 2012, the reimbursement that was proposed at that time didn't completely cover local government losses. It left local governments not whole on the average. In order to boost that reimbursement, they needed more revenue. And this state essential services assessment is essentially the means to get that additional revenue. And it's so effectively businesses that are paying the personal property tax now, maybe 35 mils at a local level, are going to pay a smaller state essential services assessment. They'll probably get about a 85 or 90% tax cut, but they'll still be paying a little bit, and that'll be to make up the difference from the old reimbursement plan that didn't hold local governments completely harmless to the new plan that does.
So we've got a tax cut for businesses that used to go to municipalities. That municipal money, that local government money, will still come in, although varying amounts for different governments, it sounds like. Nobody's taxes are being raised in this Proposition 1. Am I right so far?
That's correct.
So why is this going to the voters?
It's a great question. The legislature enacts legislation all the time, and it's incredibly rare for them to decide, hey, we want the local voters to vote on this and approve what we just approved. There isn't anywhere that you can point to that explains the legislature's rationale for putting this to a statewide vote. Our own analysis and interpretation of this is a constitutional issue. We have a proposal that will create a new local tax. That local tax will be levied by a new local but statewide authority. So you have a local unit of government levying a new local tax. And the Headley provisions of the Constitution that state voters approved in 1978 require a vote of the people to authorize any new or increased local tax. So this is coming out of an existing tax, a state tax, but it is a new local tax. And without voter approval for the new local tax, that would open up the whole reimbursement process, the new local tax that's used to facilitate that, to legal challenges. And I think that explains the vote. We need a Headley authorization vote for this new local tax.
So that's because of the Headley Amendment. Now, I've been reading a lot of stories about Prop 1, and I've been reading a lot of the comments. I know you're not supposed to read the comments. They'll drive you crazy. But I read the comments, and people are really suspicious that this proposition is being voted on during a primary election. They say if they're doing it during a primary election, that means they're up to something. Why are we putting this vote for Prop 1 on during a primary election?
Well, I suspect, there's no organized opposition to Proposal 1. The legislature passed these personal property tax exemptions and the reimbursement provisions that are relevant to Proposal 1. The legislature drafted the language that's going to appear on the ballot and appeared right in the legislation that authorized these changes. And I suspect that the August primary, in the minds of those who are proponents for personal property tax reform and local reimbursement, feel that the August primary, somewhat smaller turnout and a different turnout, gives it a better chance to succeed on the ballot.
My colleague Jack Lessenberry said that the language of this ballot proposal is, he's a college professor and he had a hard time understanding it. I think the average voter is going to look at this and say, I have no idea what this is. I'm just going to vote no. Why is the language so confusing?
Well, as I read, the legislature drafted this language.
Well, that says a lot right there.
The ballot language that you will see before you on August 5th is right from the legislation that authorized all of these changes. It appears, as I read it, it looks to be structured to sort of encourage recognition of the positives. It talks about modernizing the tax system, reimbursing and providing revenues to local governments. I would agree with Jack and with others who have said it's probably not the best drafted language that I've ever seen, and probably could be improved to give voters, full information on what they're voting on. But that ballot language does come right from the legislation.
So give me a sample of who's in favor of a yes vote for Proposition 1.
Well, Almost no groups are saying vote no, at least organized groups. The state business community is fully on board. The state chamber, I suspect almost all local chambers of commerce. The local governments are throwing their support behind it. I suspect they're very worried about, well, if this fails and the governor and the legislature have said personal property tax reform is a key priority for us, that it's going to pass, but this time it's going to pass without the reimbursement that's tied to this proposal. I've seen union endorsements for this, particularly unions that represent local government employees. So a lot of backers, no organized opposition, as far as I have seen.
Yeah, I even saw the AARP had spoken out in favor.
I did see that as well. Correct.
So to my mind, there's a lot of confusion about this proposition that really should have been made clear a long time ago. Everybody seems to be in favor. The vast majority of people seem to be in favor. Yet I can just imagine on primary election day, a lot of people looking at this and saying, I don't get it. It sounds like a new tax to me. I'm voting no against any new tax. Are the organizers behind this effort concerned about that?
Oh, I think they're very concerned. And I've seen some polling that shows that, it's sort of a mixed yes-no vote right now. I think folks are very concerned. The language is a bit confusing. A lot of money is going to be spent here in the next couple weeks to try to push for a yes vote on this from the backers. But it does not look like it's the slam dunk that some thought it might be several months ago.
That's Bob Schneider with Citizens Research Council of Michigan explaining Proposition 1, which will appear on the August 5th ballot. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you so much.
So all of that explanation about Prop 1, and I still have some questions, sort of legislative insight or legislative history questions. So here's Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta. Rick, number one, what happens if Prop 1 fails? Will the personal property tax exemption still take effect and the local governments just lose out?
No. What happens is if Prop 1 fails, then Michigan just reverts back to the system that the legislature just scrapped. Businesses, the small businesses that basically have property that's worth less than $80,000, they can claim their exemption for 2014, but then they go back to paying the tax in 2015. And a lot of the larger businesses, big manufacturers, resume their frustration with the personal property tax on their equipment.
And if Prop 1 wins and the taxes that are to be shifted to local government happens, can future legislatures decide to cut that funding to the municipalities?
Oh, absolutely. That, as a matter of fact, it is in the state constitution that no legislature can lock in a future legislature. You cannot make promises on behalf of a future legislature that a law will never be changed. And so if, say 10 years from now, the legislature is looking at a budget issue and half a billion dollars that's going to local governments rather than to the state's general fund, they can turn around, they can change the law and say, we need that for our purposes. There's nothing stopping them from doing that.
So the only guarantee for municipalities is that portion of revenue sharing, which is solid in the Constitution.
Yes. And of course, that is the crux of the complexity of Proposal 1, because this is a solution rooted in suspicion that local government said, look, just eliminating the personal property tax and promising us that we won't lose money on the deal, that's not enough. We have a history here. We have a history of revenue sharing, the statutory part of it, the part that's not locked in by the Constitution, of you guys just taking that money that was supposed to come to us and diverting it. And so your promises are no good here. We need more. And as a matter of fact, what they originally wanted was an amendment to the state constitution guaranteeing that. And on the street, this is called extortion, but in Lansing, it's called negotiation. That the Republican leaders came back and said, well, we could eliminate the personal property tax and all that revenue to you and not replace it at all. And so the local government said, okay, we'll take that. Let's do a law.
Okay.
Let's do a law.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much, Rick. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, Lester.